give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Just be seated. Amen. I hope you're all happy to be here. Amen. Brother Fidel or Brother Jake, near the back. The back lights are not on, or the front lights. I'm not sure which ones. They can turn those lights on. Amen. I want to welcome all of you to the first time to have our service here as a regular worship place. And we know that God is answering prayers and meeting needs. And I would just ask you to bear with us until we get things adjusted. And yeah, just turn that light switch on right there. It should come on. There you go. I believe in having the light. So when we're reading the Bibles, we can see it. Amen. And so I just want you to bear with us the first few services here. We're trying to adjust how the music's going to be, the sound system and everything that's working. And so we just need a little extra help. Now, you notice there's doors on each side of the platform. You're not to use those to go in and out of. Just use the back ones to go in and out of. We have these blocked off a little bit because of the music. And just appreciate you following the instructions and doing those things. And then, Lord willing, on June the 19th, we'll have Brother George Smith with us again. And most of you know that's Brother Branham's son-in-law. So that's June the 19th. That's Father's Day. And just take note of that. This morning, we'd also like to welcome Brother Obed Shamba and family are visiting from Seattle, Washington. I don't know, where are you? Somewhere here. Oh, God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. And Brother Bonilla and his wife are traveling to El Salvador on Friday coming, the May 27th, and he asked for us to pray for them. And so let's just stand and ask the Lord to watch over them, and then we'll have Brother Marion, if he'll come just in a moment here. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over us and meeting every need. Lord, today as we stand here and thankful for your blessings, Brother Bonilla and his wife are going to be traveling to El Salvador. And Lord, as they travel, they're asked for traveling mercies, and that while they're there, your hand of protection will be upon them. May you bless them, Lord, special, that they can walk in the light of the word to show the way to the people. Lord, because we know without you leading us and guiding us, there's nothing we can do. But Lord, your hand of protection to be up on them, Lord, as they go. May you bless them and watch over them, Lord, and keep them safe. Bring them back at the accepted time. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're standing, I've asked Brother Marion to come. And I'd like to have a prayer of dedication this morning for this sanctuary for us. Amen. Don't let Brother Marion pray by himself. Let's pray together and ask God to meet with us. Amen. Like I said, we got to adjust a little bit more. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. Pray with Brother Marion.
Before I pray this morning, I want to read briefly from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I will start from verse 14. It says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." May the Lord bless his word As we bow our heads this morning, I want us to all pray together as we dedicate this place for our use. Our gracious Heavenly Father, before your throne of mercy, we come this morning. Your word has taught us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in their midst, Heavenly Father. We are gathered this morning. We are more than two. We are more than three. And because we know that you are a God that keep your words, we know for sure you are here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we have read in this scripture, that whatsoever we do in word and we deed, we should do all in your name. As we gather in this building, Heavenly Father, I believe in you provided this place for us for our use. We dedicate this place in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As your children, Heavenly Father, as we gather here to worship your name, to magnify your name, to speak to you, to lay our burdens before your throne of mercy and to hear from you, we pray, Heavenly Father, may your presence be in our midst, O God. May our prayers be answered in this building. May the sick come in this building and may they be healed. And those that are seeking the Holy Ghost, may they walk in this building and may they be filled. Heavenly Father, anyone that is oppressed, anyone that has a problem or the other, may they come in this building and may they get a visitation from you. Heavenly Father, whenever we gather in this building, may we never go back the way we came. May we go back better sons and daughters of thine. Heavenly Father, when your servant shall stand behind this sacred desk to bring forth your word, Heavenly Father, may it come with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, may your word be preached in its fullness, in its entirety, in this pulpit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, may this be the beginning of good things and new things to come in this local assembly. And every brother and sister that is presented here, Heavenly Father, may your blessings shine upon them. May your grace shine upon them. May your rest, Heavenly Father, be our portion. Heavenly, as we stand up authority of your word that can never fail, as your children believing that whatsoever we ask in your name, you will do it for us. Heavenly Father, we dedicate this building for our use in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
How's that? Sorry. This thing carries your voice pretty good. I thought something was a little bit dead, though. Amen. We appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here today. And if it gets too loud, the brothers can work on it. And one more thing. I apologize to Brother Sean and Brother Sasu. The other night when I invited the brothers to come in, I should have invited the song leaders to come to get an idea of what was being said. And I apologize to Brother Sean wherever he went. Amen. And Brother Sasu. I know Brother Sasu's not here today. Amen. And the back two rows are going to be used for the children and parents that need to use it. So if you can keep those vacant, they don't have to be there. But if they need a place to be in the sanctuary while we're having the service, I want them to be able to sit back there and deal with the children rather than have to go somewhere and be out of the way of the service. So you just bear with us and we'll work it out. Amen. In Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, I want to start from here, and I'm going to continue that message I was on 2 weeks ago. I didn't quite finish it. And as Brother Marion reminded me one time, you can never exhaust what you're preaching. And I'm not trying to exhaust it. I'm just trying to find a different place to change to. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. And then I want to turn to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Amen. John, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he was doing something there. And we want to just pick up a little bit from that again. In Revelations chapter 1 and verse 12. And John said, as he was going through this, he said, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Lord bless you. You can be seated. I'll just stop right there. When I get emotional, my nose starts running. I think Brother John Tate said that means the exhaust is working good for these old guys. Amen. You know, a couple weeks ago I was speaking about the tree. How many members about the tree? I was talking about that tree and how that different groups were grafted into the tree. And let's just call this tree the orange tree again. And as we look at the orange tree, and just for the type, I should have brought my little paper, but I didn't. The orange tree was an original citrus fruit tree. And Brother Branham said he got a lesson from a man out in Arizona, I believe it was Brother Sherritt, and how that he had an orange tree, but in the orange tree he had lemons, grapefruits, pomegranates, tangerines, all were grafted in to this orange tree. So when they were grafted in, they had to actually split the tree. When they split the tree, then they put it into the tree, and it began to grow and live off of the same life that was in the orange tree. So as it was grafted into the orange tree, and how that Brother Branham goes through the whole series of a process, he said, and he talks about that Jesus was the vine, we are the branches. He said, but if the vine ever brings forth another branch of itself, that branch will be exactly like the vine itself. And remember, if you grafted something into the tree, that's not the original tree. If you grafted it in, it's not the original. But if it puts forth another branch, he said it would be just like the original part of that tree, the original part of that root. And so the root is the part that is growing in the ground that you don't see. But he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So you look at the situation, and he said this way, if you come to this tree, you have to be born again. If you're born again, what is that? It's bringing you by the original power of God into the life of the Word. So this morning he says, so when you come in, he said it wasn't, he said, because it's thriving on the natural resource of the vine itself. You see, it wasn't grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. When those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit, for they were not born of that vine. They don't know about the original life and original fruit. You with me? Now, if you get dead on me, we'll change back to the other place. Okay? So don't sit in here in these comfortable seats and go to sleep. You say amen, I'll say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I know, like I said, it's a new adjustment. It's all new. I may have to come down there and preach a little bit, get used to the difference of the height. Amen. So he comes along and he makes this comment. He says, they have to come along. He said, they cannot know that they were born of it, but if they had been born of it, the same life that was in the original stem, Jesus, would have come through them and manifested through them. John 14, 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. He said, denominations, which are men directed, cannot be born of God. Yes. Listen close, because it gets really strong. He says, denominations which are man directed cannot be born of God, for it is the Spirit, not man, that gives the life. Amen. Remember, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So as the Spirit of God moves in, you don't build your church around a denomination. You build it around the Word of God. Now, they will tell you they build it around the Word of God, but yet they put in all their creeds, their dogmas, and different things. And if you don't see it their way, you're not a Baptist. You're not a Pentecostal. You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. If you don't do it our way, you have to do it our way. That's not according to the Scripture. The Scripture says you must be born again by the Spirit of God. And if you're born again by the Spirit of God, then God will begin to move in your life and show you the way, not a denomination. He said, how thrilling to think those seven lamps drawing life and light from the resource of the main bowl because they had their wicks dipped therein. Each church age messenger is depicted herein. Where was he looking at? He was looking at the seven lampstands and how they were standing there. And then he said what he saw there was the Son of God, the Son of Man, standing in the midst of them. When he turned to see the voice and the person are the same one. So as he turned to see the voice, he said, but every messenger, when he was looking at the seven lampstand, he said every messenger was depicted into that. So when they were depicted into that, he didn't only just see the Son of Man, but he saw the Son of Man ministry working through these seven messengers. These seven messengers picked up the Word of God, not building a denomination, but building on the Word of God. What did Luther do? He come out of the Catholic Church, put the 95 Theses on the door, and put a problem to the Catholic Church. Now they're all trying to come back. They've forgiven each other. The situation is changing. They're all coming back to Mother. And then how that the Pope today is going out, getting a hold of everything that he can. He's now thinking about making women deacons in their church. He's bending his sway a little bit. He's starting to say that, you know, if people have a lifestyle, he can't condemn their lifestyle. Listen, friends, we condemn the lifestyle of homosexuality. We condemn the lifestyle of the gays and lesbians. We condemn the transgender lifestyle. I understood that they were starting to teach the children at school now that they can't tell if they're a boy or a girl until they get a certain age. I'm going to tell you something. When they're born, they're either a boy or they're a girl. The devil's interpretation or his education is taking people away from God and trying to put his light into them. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But how that the devil is working so much trying to change the thought pattern, the mind. I remember Brother Dioka preaching a couple weeks ago, and how that he said, how that the devil, he starts letting you see the TVs and you see the things on the internet and all these things. And he said it starts corrupting the mind. But you also remember that the teachers who are not born again in your school system, they are also going to corrupt the mind of your children if they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they're going to teach it the way the world sees it. I'm not saying take your children out of public schools, but you need to teach your children how to stand in the Word of God so that they can testify and identify that they're not of the school system, but they are born again from above and not of this world system. You've got to pray for your children every single day. We didn't take all of our children out of the public school. We gave them the Word of God and let them testify with their life every day that Jesus Christ is alive and well. When you do that, friend, we can't run from the devil. Understand me. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. We got to work with people who don't know about Jesus Christ. We got to work with people that doesn't understand why we can't do certain things. We got to work with people and go to school with people that don't know what we are. But your life is to shine forward and let them see that there is a Holy Ghost in this hour. We're not born to denomination. We're born by the will of God into the power of Jesus Christ. It gets better. He said every messenger was depicted when he looked, when John turned to see the voice. What did Brother Branham say? He said, the messenger is the same and his message. Did he say that? The messenger and the message are the same. So if the messenger and the message are the same, then it must mean that Jesus Christ was somewhere inside of that candlestick
because every one of those men had to bring a revelation according to thus saith the Lord. This Bible was written by men who was inspired by the power of the Holy Ghost. This book was written by God himself. This Bible is God's book. It's not just a history book. It is a present tense truth book. It is a future telling book. It is telling everything that's going on in this world today. And God has had messengers that comes along, picks up the word of God, and brings the revelation by the anointing of God. He said, what kind of a light is he giving? Let me go back. He said, each church age messenger is depicted here. His life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His life has been immersed in Christ. Though the wick, he is drawing the very life of Christ, and by it gives out light to the church. Hello, church. He said, what kind of a light is he giving? The very same light that was the first lamp that was lit. And right on down the ages to present the time of the last day messenger, the same life and the same light. Now I'm dwelling on light this morning. Stay with me just a little while. I'm going to dwell on light just a little bit. He said, it's the same light is manifested by a life that is hid with Christ in God. Not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. First, he talks about the messenger. He talks about the Son of Man. Now he's talking about every believer is also depicted in this same situation. Because why? It's the same Holy Ghost. If Jesus was the light and he gave it to every one of the messengers, then as the messengers brought the word, Jesus also had to bring us the light to see what the messengers was and who they are. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't get there, friend. You've got to know this, that the light of God is what's dwelling in us. He said, not only can we thus speak of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. How many thinks you were there? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, you were there. He saw you. He thought of you. And now he's bringing you into light. He's bringing you into position of what God has written in his Bible. He's brought it right out and put us right in the middle of it, giving light and manifesting the Holy Ghost. No man can pluck them out of his hands. If you're truly born again this morning, there is no devil, no situation, no problem can take you away from God, because the Holy Ghost has sealed you in. If you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost, the power of God gives you grace and strength to overcome. I don't care how bad you feel. He didn't go by feelings. He goes by faith in the word of God. Every believer today does not look at how they feel. They look at their sacrifice. Who is your sacrifice? Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. If he made the sacrifice, then what are you worried about? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Brothers do things. Things happen. It's not them. It's the devil trying to work amongst. But when they realize, God sets that guy straight again. I'm only on page one. Don't worry. I got several here to go with. Amen. The word of God is so real. I was preaching last night. I got a little excited at the Spanish service. Amen. The excitement doesn't go away. Amen. Amen. It just gives me strength to go another day. Amen. He walks with us every day. If you sit there and try to find fault with the pastor, you're going to be able to find all kinds of problems. But if you'll not look at the pastor and who he is, but look at the word of God and what it is. If I'm in the word, say amen to the word. If the man himself makes a mistake, Brother Branham said, as long as Moses was going along, he said, whether he was right or wrong, Joshua and Caleb stayed right with him the whole way through. Is that what a prophet said? He said, whether Moses was right or wrong. So that gives me just a little bit of, can I be human? Are you human? Raise your hand if you've never made a mistake. Thank you. I'm glad I saw no hands. We're all in the same situation, but we put our trust. We gotta give grace to one another. We gotta give love one to another. Why? Because God has given that to us. Let me read you just a little bit about light. I was looking through the different things. God is light. God is light. Amen. God is everything, if you don't mind. See, God is light. Now, it goes on, this is the power. Now, light is the power of understanding. I'm not talking about these lights. I'm not talking about some kind of a glowing light. I'm talking about the light of the Word. How many's been enlightened? Well, at least 15% of you have. You've been enlightened to the Word of God. And if you've been enlightened to the Word of God, he said, the power of understanding. Listen, a lot of people has used the Word of God as a place to hide sometimes, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't hide from God. You can hide from people. You can hide from situations, but you can't hide from God. Brother Branham's talking here, and the portion I didn't get to was this part. Now, remember, Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, it talks about that they had to get oil that was beaten for the light. Remember that, okay? Then he turns around, he comes on, he starts talking about the golden lampstand. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. John does not say that he turned to see the one whose voice he heard, but he turned to see the voice. He said, oh, I like that. He turned to see the voice. The voice and the person are one and the same. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. How many believes that you're in the beginning with God? Because why? He said he created us in him. He gave us a thought process. He had a thought process. And now through the thought process, we see Damon, we see Samson, we see Christopher and Christian. We see all these people. Because why? They are a portion of God. When God did these things, he was thinking of us. He took time. He might have took 1,000 years to think about how he was going to make Damon in a certain way. Stand up, Damon. This is Damon. People goes, who's Damon? Thank you, brother. God could have took 1,000 years to think about who you were, how he was going to make you, how he was going to position you. And I was reading the other day, I believe it was Brother Branham, talking about how that some people, they go and I was one of these kind of people. I went and tried to learn to play the steel guitar, and I got way out of my league. And I never could pick the thing up. I learned a few notes. And, you know, I went to teachers, and I tried to learn how to play the guitar, and I tried to do different things, and it just couldn't seem to get through. Brother Branham says, you know, he said, but it's a gift of God. And I've got children that God just gives them gifts to play music. Ben plays, Rachel plays, Michael plays, Joe plays the radio. He's like me. It's the funniest thing. He can learn a few things on a guitar. But does he keep on? No. He just kind of gives up. But I've got an 11-year-old grandson at the age of 7 could sit down at the piano, hear the song, and just start playing it. At the age of 7. Let me tell you something, friends. That is a gift of God. There's many people in the world that has a gift. It just comes to them. They can play music. They make money off the music. But they're not using it for the glory of God. But God puts gifts into each one of us, and as he does that, he uses us in a special way. You are unique because God made you that way. So whatever the gift is that God gave to you, that's what you need to develop. You say, but Brother Mike, you won't let me play music in the church. Hold on. We'll work it out. Okay? We got a lot of people that wants to play music in the church, and I'll tell you, I would like to have an orchestra. I would. I'd like to fill this whole thing here full of flutes and horns, and man, I'd have an orchestra.
You say, don't get over too excited. Oh, well, I love music. My children used to play in the orchestra, and I'd love to hear them play in the band. Different things. We come along. Now, how the tree was split. Now, remember, you can only live in this tree if you have the original life. Try to understand what I just said. The other churches are living by the same life. You with me? They're living, they're pulling from the same source, but they can't get what you're getting. The revelation doesn't come to them the same way if they're not born into this body. If they're grafted into the tree, they can only go as far as their tree will let them grow. But if you are original seed of God, God is obligated to let you see Him. God is obligated to let you live for Him. Because He knows that you're not just grafted, but you're born again by the power and the Spirit of God. Then we go on to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, or verse 14. And this is what he starts talking about, the sevenfold glory of his person. His head, his hairs were like what? White like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Brother Branham starts distinguishing exactly the seven things about the personage of God. And it's always amazing to me of how he can do that. How that he looks and he pulls out seven things. Seven church ages. Seven thunders. Seven seals. And on and on and on. And the prophet of God looks at the situation. He said three is perfection. Seven is completion. So he completely brings the word of God open to the people who are born again by the Spirit of God. Listen, I've been preaching the past couple of Wednesday nights about Eliezer going to get a bride for Isaac. And in that chapter, and God uses Eliezer, but his name is never mentioned in that 24th chapter. When he never mentioned his name, because you watch Brother Branham, he said the same thing that John did. John said, I must decrease for what? So that he can increase. We don't diminish Brother Branham. We don't diminish John. We don't diminish Eliezer. We're telling you that they came for a purpose, and Eliezer came to get a bride for Isaac. What did he do? He kept talking about the master. What did Brother Branham do? He kept talking about Jesus Christ. Bridegrooms waiting for a bride. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to me. He was speaking to you. Why? Because God was sending that messenger to give you a message that would bring out the voice of God to the people. So he depicted the prophet in that, then he depicted the bride in that. Yes. So as he's preaching these things, he said his hair was white. He said his hair was white. It signifies not age, but experience. Yes. Jesus was only 33 years old when God took him off the scene. So he wasn't an old man. I'm already twice that, almost. Here he is. He's 33 years old, and God has taken him off the scene, but now he's appearing in Revelation chapter 1. This is how that John sees him. He said, his hair is white as snow. The brilliant white hair does not signify age, but experience, maturity, and wisdom. The eternal one does not age. What is time to God? Nothing. Time don't mean nothing to God because he is eternal. He said, time means little to God, but wisdom means much. Who had more wisdom than Jesus Christ? When the devil comes tempting him after he's been fasting for 40 days, throw yourself down. He didn't have to throw himself down. He knew who he was. Listen, friends, do you know who you are today? The Word of God is trying to get a hold of you and change you and cause you to serve Him. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, I want to just read this verse of scriptures, if you don't mind. It's Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 through 14. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, this is Daniel talking. What is Daniel doing? Daniel's seeing the same thing that John has seen. Or I should say that John is seeing the same thing that Daniel's seen. Is that right? Because John's in the latter part of the book in the New Testament, and Daniel's in the Old Testament. But he's seeing the same one.
He's seen the one who has not, if you understand, he's not even been born on the earth yet, but here's Daniel seeing him. What's he seeing? He's seeing the vision of God. He comes along, he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Imagine, that's Daniel talking. He said, his throne was like the fiery flame. It's the light. And his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Just a little bit more. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom. And all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I'm telling you, Daniel saw something way back there that God had showed to Daniel, and then he comes right along and begins to show it to who? To John. It was the same one back in the Old Testament standing in the New Testament. Daniel seeing, he turned to see the voice himself because he begins to describe the hair like wool and all the garments and all the things, and then John comes out and is doing the same thing. What's God doing? He's showing that the Old and the New Testament with types and shadows are him altogether coming forth out of the Old Testament into the New Testament and changing the situation for the believers. Daniel saw him with that white hair. Daniel saw him in clouds. That's exactly what John saw. They both saw him exactly the same. Brother Branham's quoting this. He said they both saw exactly the same. If they saw the same thing, then it means that we must see the same thing. Whether you accept it or not, you got to see it that way. Whether you believe it or not, what I'm saying, you got to go back, search the scripture, you'll find out. Then he comes along, his eyes as fire. First he talks about the white hair. Now he's talking about eyes of fire. He said, of all the human emotions he manifested the most when he appeared as the Son of Man was this one. He wept often. Yet behind that weeping and that sorrow, there was still God. The Holy Ghost, it weeps. It cries. It's burdened. Listen, we stand in this earth. If you're not burdened down sometimes by the things you're seeing in this world, I might be checking my Holy Ghost out. If the things of this world are not upsetting you and causing you to think, oh God, how much longer? Oh God, who else can be saved? Brothers and sisters, you need to be praying, Lord, who's going to make it out of here? Because the world is getting so bad. They're making laws. We got people over there who are homosexuals. I heard the other day, I believe it was, which church was it? Presbyterian? That they found out that 100 of their clergy were homosexuals. Clergy. Supposedly reading this same book. I wonder how many pages they've ripped out that they've ignored because they're not studying the Bible that I've got. My Bible directly tells them, for a man to lay with a man is an abomination. For a woman to lay with a woman is an abomination. For a person to lay with a beast is an abomination. I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're on a beast level. Premarital sex is a beast nature. Be careful. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're going to walk down a path you don't want to be on. I wasn't intending to say that, but by God's grace, I said it anyway. He said he had a human emotion that he wept often, yet behind the weeping was God. Those same eyes saw visions. They looked deep within the hearts of men and read the very thoughts and knew all their various ways. You think you know your wife? You think you know your husband? You think you know your children? No. But there is one that knows all about who you are. He knows exactly. You can sit there and say, amen, hallelujah, preach it, Brother Mike, and you're a devil sitting in flesh. Hello, devil. I'm trying not to look at no certain persons. You'll know who you are because the Holy Ghost brings you continually back in line. When Brother Branham talks about seeing the vision of the bride, he said when they came past the second time, he saw some of them getting out of step. What did he say? Get back in line. Because he knew there would be pulls of the world trying to get a hold of you. But he had this faith that you would get back in step. It's not that you're going to make a mistake, but you will get back in line when you realize you made a mistake. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God that he knows exactly how we are. He said those same eyes saw visions. They looked deep within the hearts of men and read their very thoughts and knew all their various ways. Blazing out of mortal eyes was God, who cried to those who knew him not for what he was. Jesus wept. We know he wept. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary, Martha. He loved John and Peter and all the different ones. Brother Branham says that he wept a lot. He went and he prayed and he cried. His sweat became as great drops of blood. What was he? He was under a lot of pressure in the human flesh. But behind all of that was a God. You're going to get under pressure, friends, but behind your flesh is a God. And that God said, I'll see you through every situation, through the darkness of life. He says, I'll be with you, even in you. He said, John 8:24 says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, though you believe not me, believe the works. Like Jeremiah of old, he was a weeping prophet, for men received not the word of God and thrust aside the revelation. How many people today, they just want to feel good when they go to church, but they throw away the revelation of the word of God. If a lot of denominations hear what we preach, they'll say, these people, and they are saying, we are a cult, we follow a man. Well, most of them are the same way. If you're in the Catholic Church, you're following a pope. It's the biggest cult there is. If you're following Seventh-day Adventists, you're following Ellen G. White, a woman. Hello? But if you were thinking about the Word of God and you were in Egypt and Moses came down and said, let my people go, and the people, and he tells them exactly how to kill the lamb, how to dress the lamb, how to eat the lamb, and leave nothing of it till the morning. They had to do it according to what the man said. Because the man got his message from God. And when the man brought, thus saith the Lord, it was do it his way or no way. That's a little bit rough around the edges sometimes for people, but understand, if we're following a man, the man must be following God. If the man's life has proved out to be under the anointing of God, you must follow that word because that's what God gave you for this day. The revelation of Moses came because God chose him from the time he was a baby, but it took him many, many years to get him to the place. Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You can only come through and by the revelation. Many people who followed Moses at first thought he was wonderful. Oh, this is awesome. We're going to leave. We don't have to work in the mud pits no more. We don't have to build bricks anymore. We're going to be free. But the Bible said it was a mixed multitude. Bible said it was a mixed group of people. And when they got out there, instead of trusting God and the man that God called, They begin to complain. Well, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Moses, you brought us out here, we have no food. Moses, you brought us out here, we have no water. Complain, complain, complain. What was it? It's the spirit of anti-God. Spirit of Antichrist. Continue complaining because why? Moses, remember, Brother Brandon was the one who said that even though Moses made a mistake, he said, Joshua and Caleb stayed with him, right or wrong, they stayed with him. Why? They saw that more than a man was leading them. Understand today, there's more than a man that's leading you today. Brother Branham was the man that God called to bring a message, and this message will give you rapturing faith. You can say amen or oh me. I really don't care anymore because I know what God has done. He called a messenger and a message, and he called to give a people that would hear this voice to be the bride of Jesus Christ, and it would come out. This is the word of God for our day. He goes along and he says, these fiery flaming eyes of the judge are even now recording the lies of all flesh, running to and fro through the earth. There is nothing he does not know. He knows the desires of the heart and what each one intends to do. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. For all things are naked before him with whom we have to do. Think of it. He knows even now what you are thinking. Some of you are sitting there thinking, I wish he wouldn't be so hard about this message. Some of you are thinking, I wish he'd be harder with this message. Amen. And there's some just critical. I don't like the way he's bringing it. I think he's pointing that at me. You know, if it's getting pointed to you, just look to God, because I didn't sit in my room and say, Lord, now if I say this, I'll get the right person. No, I don't do that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to preach what's been revealed. He said, the feet of brass, number three. His hair, number one. His eyes, number two. His feet, number three. His feet is brass. He said, stood the test of the fiery furnace, a test that no other one has gone through. And that is exactly right. For brass signifies divine judgment. God is going to bring judgment on this world. Brass speaks of judgment, as is seen in the brazen altar, where the penalty for sin was met in the sacrifice upon the altar. So he's speaking about these things and how that he's went through the fiery trials and all. He said, but someday those feet of brass will stand on the earth, and the judge of all the earth he shall be. And with equality and perfection will he judge mankind, and there will be no evading that judgment. It's better that you judge yourself right now. Let me just say amen.
Amen.
We're not the Catholic Church. We're not going to be waiting in purgatory.
Right.
Nobody can say enough Hail Marys. Nobody can light enough candles to get you out of that pit. Brother, if they're in that pit, that's where they're going to stay. You need to get right with God now. You need to get your judgment now, because when it comes time, we'll be with him at the white throne judgment. Because we're going to help judge. Amen. We're going to help judge. We start by judging now. We start by living right now. We start by doing the will of God now. The devil's going to try to cause you to think, I'm not a good judge. Let God be the judge of that. He said, no turning of that justice. There will be no tempering of it. He said, he that is unjust will be unjust still. He that is filthy will be filthy still. The unchanging one will not change then, for he never has and never will. Those feet of brass will crush the enemy. Just begin to think. I was in him. I was in him before the foundation of the world. So that means that wherever you walk should be holy. Whatever you begin to do should be holy. The way you live should be holy. You should be able to put the devil under your feet. Not up here around. Listen, the only thing around your shoulders is the wisdom of God and the judgment plan that God's made. That's what's around this white hair and this white wool hair that you see. It's judgment power that he's showing to John in Revelation 1. Just a little more. He said, they will destroy the Antichrist. Those feet, let me go back. Those feet of brass will crush the enemy. They will destroy the Antichrist, the beast and the image, and all that is vile in his sight. He will destroy the church systems that have taken his name only to corrupt its brilliance. What's brilliance? His light. They're destroying the very power of God. I'm not talking about fire in the choir. You know what I'm talking about? Going over. Fire. And people falls over. That's a shame. They got people crawling around laughing. I'm not making fun. They got people crawling around making, laughing, and people of the world saying, who wants a religion like that? They act like a bunch of dogs. Jesus said that this woman was a dog, but she desired the crumbs. Listen, he didn't call us dogs. We are his children. We are his bride. We were in him before the foundation of the world. The process that we're in today should not make us arrogant and smarty and all. It should make us humble. We should become more humble every day that we live. He will destroy the church systems that have taken his name only to corrupt its brilliance and crush them along with the Antichrist. All the wicked, the atheists, the agnostics, the modernists, the liberals will all be there. Death, hell, and the grave will be there. Yes, they will. For when he comes, the books will be opened. What did Daniel say? The books would be opened when this one came. Who's going to be standing with him? I just want to jump real quick. He said his voice was the sound of many waters. Can somebody holler, praise the Lord? Could the whole church say, praise the Lord? That is the sound of the voice of many waters. The people of God are the voice. I heard a voice. Let's just read a little bit. He said he comes along and he hears the voice. Let just the men say, praise the Lord. Let just the sisters say, praise the Lord. Oh, you hear the difference in the tone. Let the church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. The devil's going to know that God's got a voice of many waters here today. And the voice of many waters is his bride. And she says, thus saith the Lord. And God responds to that. Brother, the voice of the bride is what's speaking today. What is she saying? What the word of God told her to say. The waters which thou sawest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. His voice was as the sound of multitudes speaking. What is it? It is the judgment. For these are the voices of the multitudes of witnesses. How many witnesses are we? How many witnesses are we? Who's going to witness that I'm a son of God? I'm a daughter of God. How many is going to witness that I'm a Christian today? Who's going to witness that I am born again by the power of God? You need to identify, I am a witness. He said, who by the Holy Spirit all through the ages have testified to Christ and preached his gospel. It will be the voice of every man rising in judgment against the sinner who would not take warning. The voices of the seven messengers will be heard loud and clear. Those faithful preachers who preach the saving power of Jesus, who preached water baptism in Jesus' name, who preached the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost, who stood with the word more than they stood with their own lives. All of them were the voice. He didn't say voices. The preachers, the messengers. Why? Because they were looking at the one that was in the candlestick, who was the Son of Man. He had a voice. And his voice came out. It depicted the messengers. It depicted the church of God. And with a voice. Let the church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
One voice is what God is hearing through this word of the hour. He said, and all of them were the voice of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost down through the ages. Not voices. One voice. He said all down through the ages, every one of those believers had the same voice.
Amen.
Same revelation.
Yes.
Same anointing.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Glory to God. When he went to the cross, we were on his mind. He looked beyond the cross. He saw the vision. Maybe he was there. You know, God is a spirit. But Jesus was the body of the spirit. He embodied the whole spirit of God. And as he embodied the whole spirit of God, when he was hanging on the cross, he could see the bride from every age that he was bearing the problems for. He was hanging on the cross because he did it for every church age. Oh, glory to God. What a mighty God we serve today. How that God has reached out. It's the voice of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to praise the Lord today for doing something for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. May the anointing fall on you to understand I'm a voice of Jesus Christ. I'm not just the voice of the pastor or Brother Branham. I'm the voice of Jesus Christ. I'm a part of the bride that God has called. Brother Branham gave us the voice to speak with. You say, what? Yes, he was the one who brought the revelation of the word for the day. You could not speak this word if he had not spoke that word. He's the one who said you got to read between the lines. Because between the lines, a lot of churches are reading the same book, but they don't know what's between the lines. They don't know about serpent seed. They don't know about the thunders. They don't know about the revelation of the seal. Why? Because God gave a certain voice at a certain time to speak the same word. It has to be that way. My brother and sister, today you ought to understand you're not just in any kind of a body. You are the body. You're the body of Christ today. You should be so thankful and so happy that God has changed you from the vile sinner that you once were. If you have not changed, I beg you today, change. You hold to the worldly things, the things of the world that the devil's given to you, and you lust for the things of the world, the devil's still got control. You're living under his light. Remember the greatest robbery. Brother Branham said the greatest robbery that was done by a false light. Do you know that the devil fell from heaven like a light? It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. He's got a light. But what kind of light does he shine? It will deceive the very elect if possible. Is it possible? No way. Oh, why? Because he said the Holy Spirit would rightly divide the word of truth. And the Holy Ghost would come into that. He said all of them were the voice of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost down through the ages. John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. Wait a minute. Where did you get a word from? Where did you get a word from? We had a prophet who brought the word. Believe it or not, he brought the revealed word. Notice I'm not saying words. The revealed word. Why? It's one voice. When Paul preached it, he had to preach the voice of Jesus Christ. When Luther preached it, when Wesley preached it, they all had to preach the voice of Christ. When Brother Branham preached it, he had to preach the voice of Christ. What was it? Every age had to pick up the voice of Christ. And today you're no different. You've got to pick up the voice of Christ. If you pick up the voice of Christ, then he will reveal himself to you and the word for that day. He said, have you ever thought of how terrifying? Now this is just a little story he's going to tell. He said, have you ever thought of how terrifying it is to a man drifting helplessly toward a cataract? That's a falls. You're in a boat. Remember, you get in a boat. How many has ever been in a boat on a river? Okay. I doubt you're still here, so I doubt you ever went over the falls. Anybody ever been over the falls? You know, I know that there's a Niagara Falls up in New York. How many has ever seen a picture of Niagara Falls? Okay, for those of you who have not seen the picture of Niagara Falls, go home, Google Niagara Falls. And then try to relate this story to what I'm getting ready to tell you. There's like a terrifying experience that there's a man in a boat and he's floating towards the falls, and what's going to happen when he gets to the falls? He's just going to perish because it's so steep. He's going to be killed. He said, how terrifying to think that he was going to go. He said, helplessly. All his rowing won't work. His engine won't work. He's helpless. He's in this boat. He's in the water, and he's headed for Niagara Falls, and he's getting ready to go over the edge. You know what's down below? Rocks. I don't care, all the helmets you got won't save your life. It'll probably beat you to death. But you're getting ready to go over the falls, and I can't maybe get this through to you enough. He said, think now that roar as they approach his sure to certain doom. And just exactly like that is coming the day of judgment. You that are playing around with sin, judgment is just up on you. If you can't see by the laws that our government's passing, if you can't see by the way that the devils are working around, there is Niagara Falls. God bless you, brother. Could you imagine? You see all that foam coming up right there? You see what that is? It's because it's fell so far. It's whoosh. Where'd it go? That's what'll happen. All of a sudden, you're gone. It just happens that way. And when they land to the bottom, look at all those rocks over there to the left. You see all of that? You think you could survive falling hundreds of feet into all those rocks? Just think now. He says, judgment is just about upon you, and you are going to pay the price of death. Let me tell you something. Sin is cruel. You might enjoy running around with women. You might enjoy drinking and smoking your dope and all these different things, but you are flirting with the devil's kind of light. You're flirting with the devil's kind of a world. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth. The reason I'm saying it is because if you're sinning in that way, you have not been born again. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. When I mean it'll die, it's not going to heaven, it's going to hell. And when, listen, you got to worry about hell, okay? Don't worry about hell. You get into hell, you know where you're going? You're waiting for the lake of fire. You say, I thought hell was it. No. God said he created it. What's he going to do at the last thing? He's going to put that devil in the lake of fire. That lake of fire is going to consume everything that's in it. You're going to be down there. You ain't going to be playing with the devil then. You and all of your nasty ideas and you and all your filthy ideas and all the things that you're doing, you're not going to make it through then because you're in the devil's hell. You and the devil are going to be down there fussing with each other. You're going to say, why did you do that to me? He says, because you wanted to listen to me. You wanted the pleasure of sin for a season. Sin is only for a season, friend. Hey, there's into seasons. Man, I don't see a clock, and I don't know how long I'm preaching. You're still with me, though. Just a little more, okay? We'll come down. He said, and that's exactly, just exactly like that is coming the day of judgment, when the roar of the multitude of voices condemn you, not having paid heed, ere it's too late. Because you haven't paid heed. There's people sits in the church. We preach to them about the power of the Holy Ghost and how they shouldn't look at pornography and how that they shouldn't commit adultery and how they shouldn't drink liquor and get drunk and smoke cigarettes and smoke dope and smoke pot and smoke your socks or whatever you want to do. You shouldn't do all that nonsense. Amen. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I really believe the message. I really believe Jesus Christ saved me. I just can't get rid of this addiction. That's because you ain't got to the one who can get rid of it for you. You can do it on your own. There's people that does it on their own. But when you do it according to the word of God, he doesn't only take it away from you, he takes away the desire. He takes it away. And when the devil comes back trying to tell you, say, get out of here, Satan. Put him under your brass feet. Let him know I am not your seed no more. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but now I've come to realize there was another seed inside of me that has been watered by the word. He said, when the roar of the multitude of voices condemn you for not having paid heed ere it was too late, take heed this hour, for at this moment your thoughts are being recorded in heaven. Man, I wish I could just go down about so much to the level and all of a sudden I say, all your minds thinking thoughts. I can't, but he can. He said he knows what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, oh man, he's getting really close to where I live. I hope he changes the topic just in a few minutes. Because, you know, sometimes I just can't hardly wait to get home to take a look at another thing on my Facebook. People are addicted to Facebook. People are addicted to all kinds of, it's not just smoking. It's not just drinking. It's attractions. People are attracted to things. They're addicted to things. Things are not going to save you. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to save you. You're doing things. You're playing cards at home. Throw the things out. They got a demon spirit on them. I never forget one time I was, many years ago, I was out at a camp and I was not trying to sneak in on anybody. I just was going to walk into the office and I was going to go in there and ask for something. And when I walked in, the brother who was running the place was not a preacher, who was like taking care of coordinating everything. He's over there. Now I'm telling you, the preacher's in there preaching and he can hear the preacher preaching and he's sitting there playing cards on his computer. Blackjack or something. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Man's over there preaching about the Holy Ghost and you're sitting over here playing cards during the service? You don't think I was upset? I was upset to think that the man of God is out there giving everything he can for the young people and a guy sitting in here playing cards on his computer. If you do that, shame on you. You say, well, Brother Mike, they're not cards, they're on the computer. It's a demon. That's his light. That's his life. I'm trying to get somewhere. Just give me a little bit. We listened to Brother Dioka a couple weeks ago for a couple hours. Can you give me the chance? Amen. Hallelujah. If you're bored, you can leave. Then we'll know. You say, Brother, you're putting pressure on me. Amen. When the roar of the multitude of voices condemns you for not having paid heed, take heed this very hour. For at this moment, your thoughts are being recorded in heaven. There your thoughts speak louder than your words. Like the Pharisee who claimed so much with his mouth, but not listening to the Lord. His heart became corrupt and evil until it was too late. You get messing with this stuff, it corrupts your mind. He said, even now, this could be your last call to hear the word and receive it unto eternal life. It will be too late when you approach the roar of the many voices of judgment and doom. Hello, church. Do you believe that you're going to be one of the voices of the many that's going to be condemning this world and their ideas and all the things that are happening? Do you believe that I am one of them? Do you believe that your voice is going to be a witness against those people who sat in the same church that you sat in and did the wrong thing and you were standing and saying, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. There's people sitting here that hears me preaching this and they're going to go out and do the same thing again no matter what, no matter how I do it. No matter how I say it, I can't make you be a Christian. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, knows your thoughts right now. He knows that if you're throwing darts and spears at me right now, spiritually. He knows if you're not liking what I'm preaching right now. Why? He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. The God that I serve knows everything about you. Here's what I really like is he cares about his own. His own really want to serve him. Let me try to close here in just a few minutes. He says, as the word of the waters of separation hath declared, how thankful we should be to hear his voice of love and care and guidance and protection. And someday we will hear that same sweet voice speak, not in judgment, but in welcome to us whose sins have been remitted by his blood, whose lives have been spirit-filled, and whose walk was in the word. What could be more precious than to hear the multitudes of welcoming voices? Hello, church. I believe it'll be welcoming voices that's hollering, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God we made it. I believe your voices are going to be there. Listen, he said, waters that destroyed the world was the waters that saved Noah. The word that's condemning the world is saving the bride. Hello, church. God has done something in this age. The power of God is speaking down, and he's working on the people of God and showing them his way. Listen, in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, it said that they had to have oil that was beaten. Let me tell you something today. You would not be here today. Jesus had to be the one, the oil. He was the perfect Son of God. They said it had to be perfect. This oil had to be pure. This oil had to be exactly right. And Jesus was the only one who was perfect. He was the only one that was pure. And he was the only one that was beaten for your salvation. He was beaten, he was smitten, he was stripped and everything else. He was the one that was beaten so bad. But yet in him was the oil of the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, I must go to the cross. And brother, when he was on the cross, what did he see? You and me. Because he was beaten so much, that oil. And now you go back to the candlestick and your wick is now dipped into the oil because it was Jesus Christ. Not just seven things, but he was standing there. He was the messenger of all the seven ages. He was the one that says, I'm going to be the one that gives you life. I'm the one that's got the oil of the Holy Ghost. I'm the one you got to dip your wick into. I'm the only way you're going to make it out of here because they beat Jesus. They beat Jesus for you and me, friend. Why trample him under your feet? Why trample the gospel under your feet? Why don't you dig into the word of God and let God speak to your heart? When they beat Jesus, he gave the oil. What did he do? He told him, he says, I must go away. Brother, on that day, what did he do? When they went to the day of Pentecost, musicians can get ready to come. But when he went on the day of Pentecost, what happened? He said it was like licks of fire. Hallelujah. What did John see in the candlestick? He saw in the fire. He saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus Christ. He was the fire. And when he sent down the Holy Ghost, he said it was like tongues of fire fell on every one of them. Brother, let me say today, if the fire has fell on you, you've got the light of the Holy Ghost. That light today is giving you strength. It's giving you power to overcome. He didn't just get beaten for anything. He got beaten for you. Why don't you give up? Why don't you accept the light of God? Why don't you get spiritual? Jesus beaten. Nobody else could have taken what he took. His was for a purpose. He was the fullness of God. He was the light. He was the life. And he said, I must drink this cup. Brother, when he drank of that cup, not a cup that you drink water out of, a cup of bitterness, a cup of pain, a cup of sorrow, a life that was destroyed, you might say, for you. He was beaten for you. And all that the Father was, he put into Christ. And all that Christ was, he put into the church. Oh, church of the living God, why can't you accept Jesus Christ today? He gave everything that you might have the same life and the same power and the same anointing. Why don't you love him today? Why don't the musicians come? Why don't you say, Lord Jesus, I've not been serving you like I should. Oh God, I didn't realize that you were beaten so bad, that you were the oil of God, that you were the Spirit of God, that you were taking all this for me. Lord, I didn't realize that you were doing this for me this way, but you were the one I've got to dip my wick into. You're the one I got to get my light from. The devil's light does not produce Christ. It can't. The devil's light brings false impersonations. The devil's light brings situations that you think, oh, I'm in the presence of God. Be careful. That guy wants to get so close. That guy wants you to move so, he just wants you to be so religious. Oh, don't just be religious, friend. Be anointed by the Holy Ghost today. Remember, Jesus gave everything. They did not take his life. He gave his life. He let them beat him. He let them. He said, I give it. How about you? Would you bow your heads? Play soft, some sister. If you're sitting here this morning, thinking about it, you got to get out of here and go see something on the internet. Sitting here thinking, I can't resist that person at work. They speak so good to me. Can't resist another smoke. Can't resist another drink. I have a Savior who was beaten. He poured out his life. He poured out everything he was to give it to the people of God. What about you? What about you? If you study the tabernacle, how that they had an altar of incense just before you enter into the Holy of Holies. Your prayers are the incense, sweet smelling Savior. Your prayers are the incense that's going up to God today. Oh, brother and sister, allow Him. Allow Him to come into your court. Allow Him to change you. Take away the angry spirit, the angry attitude. Take away everything that's not like Christ. Lord Jesus, I'm not sure I could convey it the way I was seeing it. But Lord, today, let this voice, let this life, oh God, let this ministry be the voice against the spirits of Laodicea. Let this voice rise with this congregation that they serve you, oh God. They worship you, Lord. They bless your name. Lord, would you come? If there's any under the sound of my voice that are struggling with an addiction, with a situation that they don't want, oh God, even if they don't speak a word, you know their thoughts. You know if they're hiding anything from you. Oh God, the word that I preach, the word that the other brothers preach, will be a judgment against them. The roar of the voices is going to be judging the people who rejected your word. Have your way, Father. Have your way this morning, Lord. Just think a few moments, friend.